The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus returned to the synagogue, where there was a man whose hand was shriveled up. The Pharisees kept an eye on Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, hoping to be able to bring an accusation against him. He addressed the man with a shriveled hand, "Stand up here in front." Then he said to them, "Is it permitted to do a good deed on the Sabbath or an evil one? To preserve life or to destroy it?" At this they remained silent. He looked around at them angrily, for he was deeply grieved that they had closed their minds against him. Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." The man did so, and his hand was perfectly restored. When the Pharisees went outside, they immediately began to plot with the Herodians on how they might destroy him. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's feast of two 3rd century martyrs, Saints Fabian, Pope and Martyr, and Sebastian, Bishop and Martyr, tell us and how we need to know this. The Catholic Church is a church of martyrs. Saint Robert Bellarmine, the Jesuit doctor of the church, says he has 15, not 4, 15 marks of the true church. One of those 15 marks of the true church is martyrdom. What is a martyr? A martyr is first of one who deeply believes in Christ. A martyr is one whose faith is so deep he will testify, proclaim his faith to others. And a martyr is one who will die for the faith that he has. Jesus Christ was the first martyr. Nothing had to believe in his own divinity. He knew it. And just before his ascension, how this needs to be memorized. On his way to the Mount of the Ascension, our Lord told his disciples, "You will receive power from on high, and almost all translations say, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, even to the ends of the earth." The original Greek of St. Luke wrote the Acts of the Apostles, which describe the event. The Greek tells us, "You will be my martyrs." That's what a Christian means. That is what a Christian means. I repeat, that is what a Christian means. A Christian is a martyr. What are the conditions for martyrdom? First of all, a deep faith in Christ's divinity. It means that that faith is shared with others. You don't become a martyr by hiding behind closed doors. You become a martyr by witnessing, testifying to your faith before the world. And even as the world, when Christ testified to who he was, that he and the Father are one. Remember the occasion in John's Gospel when a crowd of Jews held not small but big stones in their hands, ready to stone Jesus. "My friends, why are you trying to kill me? Is it because of all the good things I've done?" "No. It's because you, though a man, make yourself equal to God." I try to keep repeating that word, equal. Ethos. An isosceles triangle, remember? Two mathematically equal sides. That's what Jesus was professing. That he and God the Father were ethos, mathematically identical, one. We shall live. I didn't used to talk this way 5, 10, 20, 30 years ago, but I do know. To profess our faith in Christ. And the cheapest profession is verbal, with our mouths. To profess our faith in Jesus Christ by following in his footsteps, by living the kind of life that he wants us to live, of obedience, of poverty, and with resounding emphasis of chastity. He'll bring down on us, and I mean it, the hatred of the world. In other words, we are all, every one of us, called upon, if it is God's will, may I recommend, and I could not be speaking in a better country or a better city. I've been doing this for 45 years, since my first Mass. Every time I consecrate and elevate the host and chalice, I pray for the gift of martyrdom. Pardon me for asking you, how many of you want to be martyrs? How many? Sister, do you want to be a martyr? Sister? Would you? But we have no choice. If it is God's will, and what a joy that would be, to die a martyr's death. But you will be only as good missionaries of charity, only if you are willing to live a martyr's life. Oh, the counterfeits in the priesthood, the counterfeits in religious life, the spurious make-believes. In the first 300 years, every single one of the bishops of Rome, including Saint Fabian, in honor of whom we're offering this Mass, was a martyr. And the attempt on the life of our present Holy Father, tragic, of course, but exciting, exhilarating. We are living in the age of martyrs. And only those who are willing to either die a martyr's death, or at least live a martyr's life, only they will convert today's pagan world. Nobody else. All right? In the early church, we've all heard the expression, the blood of martyrs is the seed of the church. What the United States needs to be converted, and it's a pagan nation, is martyrs. What Germany needs, what France needs, what England needs, how it pains me to say it, what Italy needs, I know Italy well, and Russia for 70 years has shed the blood of millions of martyrs. That's why the future of this once atheistic country, the future is so bright. But we must do our part. Lord Jesus, you told us the world will treat us as it has treated you. The world crucified you, and we, dear Savior, give us such deep love for you that we shall be not only ready or resign ourselves to, but look forward to, even ask you, dear Savior, that we might, if it is your will, die a martyr's death, but by all means to live a martyr's life. It is blood that converts, the blood of love. Our love, Jesus Christ, is crucified, and we want to be crucified like him. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus withdrew toward the lake with the disciples. A great crowd followed him from Galilee, and an equally great multitude came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, Transjordan, and the neighborhood of Tyre and Sidon, because they had heard what he had done. In view of their numbers, he told his disciples to have a fishing boat ready for him, so that he might avoid the press of the crowd against him. Because he had cured many, all who had afflictions kept pushing toward him to touch him. Unclean spirits would catch sight of him. lay themselves down at his feet and shout, "You are the Son of God." Why they kept ordering them sternly that they were not to reveal who he was. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Today on the feast of St. Agnes, Virgin and Martyr, I think we can ask ourselves, what is the lesson that St. Agnes is meant to teach us? I would say one of the deepest lessons of the modern world needs, the lesson of consecrated chastity. Agnes, over the centuries, has been the model of even dying to preserve one's chastity. However, her martyrdom was not merely the natural and understandable reluctance, to put it mildly, dread, to put it more strongly, of a woman not to be deprived of her chastity. It was an attempt at forcible marriage. She was not merely a martyr to avoid rape. She was rather a martyr to consecrated virginity. Behind every martyr is profession of faith. Every martyr somehow is a witness to the faith. What is the mystery of faith of which St. Agnes is a witness? It is faith in consecrated chastity. It is faith in Christ's not only becoming man, but becoming a man, and becoming a man virginally, twice over. Virginally, by being conceived by his virgin mother. No coincidence that. And behind Christ being conceived of a virgin mother was not only, though also, to emphasize the fact that Christ, as the Son of the living God, did not have a human father. It was that. But Christ was conceived of a virgin mother in order that already in his conception he might proclaim the sublime dignity of virginity. But then Christ himself, who, as I repeat, absolutely speaking, might have married, might have reproduced himself physically, but chose not to do so. Why? Because God became man not to reproduce himself bodily, but to reproduce himself spiritually. And if there is anything, dear God, if there is anything that the modern world needs, it is to be told there are two kinds of reproductivity. There is fertility of flesh and fertility of spirit. Christ then remained an inviolate virgin in his own human life on earth. It was in professing that faith in Christ's twofold virginity, conception of a virgin mother and living a virginal life, that from the very beginning Agnes's martyrdom was in the second century. Women died not only not to be violated, no, they died in order to profess their faith in the sublime dignity, I repeat, of virginity. The modern world, no words can describe the madness of sexual promiscuity in one nation after another. And, as we'll see before this seminar is over, there are two commandments that go together. They are the fifth and the sixth commandment. Chastity is to be preserved even at the cost of martyrdom. But behind that faith in Christ's own virginity and being willing to be killed rather than to be, as we would say, forcibly married, how today's world needs to believe, and we, this is the audience, we, whatever witness we give today's sex-mad world, it should be the willingness to die rather than compromise our consecrated chastity. Saint Agnes, virgin and martyr of consecrated chastity, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let us pray for all those consecrated to a life of celibacy and consecrated chastity, that with God's grace they may follow the example of Saint Agnes. Let us pray to the Lord.